For listening to this message from Valley Bible Fellowship. It is our sincere prayer that you're richly blessed through the ministry of the Word. For more information about VBF, visit our website at vbf.org. Now, here's Pastor Ron Bietti.
Good morning. How y'all doing? Good? We want to say hi to the Northwest Campus, CSUB. First, let's start with CSUB. CSUB, we love you. Cal State, we love you. Love you. You got to say, I love you back, Cal State. Come on. No, they're supposed to say it, not you. And then Northwest, although we have not officially opened until September 16th, we already have a couple hundred people meeting over there. Tehachapi's kicking off with Pastor Jim Cruz preaching in Tehachapi this morning. And that'll be streamed in once he goes to Thousand Oaks. And so we're growing in more ways than one. Welcome everybody on the internet. Love you. And so you know on September 16th, the service time will change from 11 o'clock to 10:45. You say, did God say to do that? No, but you get to the restaurants earlier. That's my criteria. No, it's just too long of a gap. We've shortened our service time, and maybe you haven't noticed it. We got a little earlier now, and we want to shorten that gap, because the musicians are going to sleep back there and I'm going to sleep. And so it'll be 9 o'clock and 10:45 starting September 16th. That's back to church Sunday. Cal State will also change times. Northwest will be the same times. So we'll go from there. Tehachapi's 11:30. Father God, anoint what I have. Anoint what I have in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't remember ever doing this. I'm sure I have, but I don't remember. But I'm going to take a message that I preached on a Wednesday night weeks back, and I'm going to repeat it. It'll be changed quite a bit. There's a lot of changes in it, but still, it's the same format. You say, why? Because God said. Simple enough. I was going to close the third in our series on seeds today, and God closed the doors. I mean, I couldn't preach on it. Last night I sat up till midnight looking at my notes, and I go, this isn't it. And I felt like God said, go back. So God has a word for you, obviously. Weekly, I run into the same scenarios over and over and over again. Same scenarios. Women, my husband is a mess. Gets drunk all the time. He's sleeping around. He's on porn. He's mean to the family, blah, blah, blah. It's over and over and over again. Sometimes it's the opposite, and it's the wife. Horrible way to live. No peace, no unity, no love. And then constantly, men are caught up on porn. How do I get off? I'm stuck. I can't get off of it. And you know, the other day I was thinking, some men have ADD and ADHD, and porn is a symptom from that. And I'll say more about that at the men's retreat. In fact, I now think I know the cure for people on porn. It's taken me 20 years to find it. I think I know the cure. I think God gave it to me. I saw on the internet one day, these pastors were saying they found the cure to porn. They had all this curriculum and stuff. So I paid $100, got a bunch of stuff, and started reading it. And it says you have to go back to your childhood, find the subliminal lies that the devil told you as a baby. And I go, oh, come on. I'm so tired of this stuff. Feels like you're making money off of it. Maybe I'm wrong. Forgive me for even saying that. But Jesus was always so simple. And I found the simple solution. What is it? Come to the men's retreat and you'll find out. I'm serious. I'm going to handle the men's retreat. What about us that aren't going? I'll bring it back here the next week maybe. But I'm going to handle it. I want it at the men's retreat. That's where I want to give you the solution. So get your husbands there, women. Get them there, get them there, get them there. See, men get caught up in porn and it destroys the whole family unit. And I see this constantly. What happens? You lose all sensitivity. Your mind's on one track and you don't see all the telltale signs in your family of your kids and your spouse going, need a little help over here. I need some attention over here. You don't see all these telltale signs. They're all around you. You lose all sensitivity. I think monthly, if you're living with your eyes open, somebody in your family saying, I need a little help over here, Dad. Need a little help. Something's going on. They're not acting right. When was the last time that you said to your kids or your spouse, let's take a time out today and go to Starbucks and get a coffee? So I just want to know what's going on in your world. I really want to know, how's your world? Oh, man, is that valuable. So last week in one of the services, I said something interesting. I don't know what service I said it in, but wouldn't it be interesting if we had a church that was kind of organized around this idea that you're in church and as soon as you hear something that God has your name on, you hear something that God's saying to you, you get up and walk out. We go 5 minutes longer, people walk out, they walk, till pretty soon your whole wish and desire is that you have five people left at the end of the sermon. That'll never happen, but it would be intriguing. Now, another scenario that I continue to run into is I run into Christians that have run out of spiritual gas. They've lost their passion. They're just going through the motions. Every week on social media, I run into all these problems, the marriage, the porn, Christians with no passion, on and on and on. Have you ever been in the gym and seen people with headphones on? And they're over there rocking out. They're in their own world. And they start singing off key. She's so beautiful. She's so beautiful. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And they don't even understand that we're all hearing it real loud. And we look at them like, come on. They're singing off key. But they're oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. She's beautiful. She's my baby. And you see, I see them in the gym all the time. The idea is that they are acting out of this passion. I mean, they're into it. They can't help it. They're into it, man. The music's getting in their bones, man. You know what I mean? And they're rocking out. They're in their own world. And I think it's pretty cool, really. That's passion. And that's the way Christians should be living. We should not be able to refrain from talking about our God stories and what God's doing. You know, this passion. Look at John 14, 13. 14, very common passage. Jesus answered and said to her, everyone who drinks of this physical water, they're going to thirst again. But whoever, now remember again, this is the word of God. This never lies. Every phrase is true. Every word, every thought. Again, it says, but whoever, now I'm one of those, I'm one of the whoever's. Whoever drinks of the water that I will give him shall never thirst. Leave this up here, back room. Did you know what I'm talking about? I see Christians all the time, they come in and they go, you know, I'm looking for something deeper, man. I think I'm going to go to another place, could get something deeper. Obviously, they're not drinking of the well or they wouldn't have a thirst. I have no thirst for anything more. I don't want anything more. I don't need anything more. I found the deepest, most rich life you can possibly find. I don't want anything else. You can't sell me on anything. I'm there. So if you're still in content, going, I need more, then you haven't drank from the well. Everybody who drinks the well won't want anymore. But the water that I will give him will become in him, inside of him, a well of water springing up to eternal life. Let's look at the Greek word for well. It means it'll be a gushing, plumply source of water. It'll be a fountain of water, a discharge or flow of blood from the body. Except it's a discharge or a flow of living water coming out of you. I live that. Do you live that? I found that this scripture is 100% on. I'm not tempted with any other lifestyle. I've drinking at the well. I found it. God's story. Another one last week. I have all these God stories. No, I'll just go on. I'll tell you later. Do you understand? This is the world I live in. What happened is I have a doctor in Las Vegas, my general practitioner, and I'm not in Vegas all the time now, a lot, and so I need to get one in Bakersfield. So I went on the internet, and I asked you guys, could you give me suggestions for a doctor? And you're so cool. You gave me all these suggestions. Just like when I wanted a dog, you know, you offered to give me 53 dogs. And man, the dog I got, oh my gosh. Man, when God's in it, it's cool. Thor, he's a 120-pound German Shepherd. He's a big boy. And I'll tell you what, he protects me wherever I go, man. He's by my side, loves to play ball. That's the best dog. You know, if you're a bad person, you get into our yard, he'll eat you up, and, unless you have a ball. And I said I wouldn't say that again because now I've just told the bad guy, just bring a ball with you, you know. No, he'd eat you up anyway. He'd make a ball out. No. But what I did is I asked for a doctor, and you guys were so cool. And now, spiritually, I'm just like this. I took all these doctors, started praying over them. And I'd even take paper and say, this doctor got 5 suggestions. This one got 3. This one got 2. Then I started looking at their assistants going, oh, no, I know who that lady is. I'm not going there. That assistant, I don't want that assistant. And I started looking at reviews, and I started praying. Now, I finally thought after 3 weeks, I know the doctor I'm supposed to have. God's told me. But now I'm like a little child. Remember again, the Bible says, look at those that have overship over you, the people that oversee you, and look at the result of their faith and then imitate them. The Bible says, unless you become like a little child, you shall never inherit the fullness of the kingdom. And so I know this doctor. This is the one I'm supposed to have. So I sat down to call him, and I said, okay, God, when I hang up, I want to see your fingerprints all over this, like I do everything. I want to know that this was you. So God, I'm calling. And they put me on hold, and I said, okay, God, I'll only wait 5 minutes. After 5 minutes, it's not you, and I'm hanging up. So I got on hold, and in 2 minutes and 30 seconds, whatever, they picked up, and I said, hi. I said, I was wondering, is the doctor taking new patients? And she says, yes, we're taking new patients. What doctor would you like to see? And she rattled off every name except the doctor I wanted. And I said, well, you know, I wanted this doctor. She says, oh, I'm so sorry. I said, he's not taking new patients. I said, okay, but which of the other doctors do you want? And I said, I don't want any of them. I said, I'm a pastor, a Christian. I prayed about it. I feel like that's the doctor I'm supposed to get. She says, wait, you're a pastor? What's your name? I said, Ron Vietti. She says, Ron, I go to your church. I said, She said, no, it's not over yet. It gets better. She said, 3 weeks ago when you were looking for a doctor, somebody saw your posting on Facebook and called me and said, Pastor Ron might be calling. I went to the doctor and asked him if he would take you, and he said he would. Now, it's not over yet. And I said, this is God. You know what I just prayed? And she says, let me tell you something else. I don't work the phones, I work in the office. And said, I just got back from taking my son somewhere, and I'd been back like 1 minute or two, and they were being overwhelmed with calls, and I just happened to pick up the line for them. Otherwise, you would have been turned away. It's the way I live. Do you understand? Consider the outcome of the faith that those are over you, and then imitate them. And so, well, the whole idea, what I'm saying is like those guys in the gym with the music, you know, and they're rocking. They can't, she's beautiful, oh yeah. See, they can't help themselves because of what they're taking in and what I'm getting from God. I can't help myself. I probably told that story, God's story, 5 times in 1 hour that day. I just calling people going, whoa. You know, it's not the biggest one. It's not like resurrecting a seal, but it was pretty cool. Pretty cool. Now, we should be like the people in the headphones. We should be rocking out with God's spirit in us. But instead, every week on social media, I see a whole lot of Christians who are living in defeat, despair, discouragement. Look at 2 Samuel 3:1. This was in our devotions a few weeks ago. Now there was a long war between the house of Saul and the house of David. And David grew steadily stronger, but the house of Saul grew weaker continually. Now, in this chapter, we have the people of Israel split about who they want to follow. Some of the people had taken David's son, Ish-bosheth. His other sons died with him in battle, but they took Ish-bosheth, which was one of his sons, and they decided to make him king in Saul's place. But the sons of Judah, they thought David should be king, so it was kind of split. The sons of Judah were following David. Another large part of Israel was following Ish-bosheth. And that's what it means here, that David, and of course when we say the word David, we can think of Jesus, the son of David, Jesus. The kingdom of Jesus, the kingdom of David is growing stronger and stronger. Ish-bosheth's kingdom was growing weaker and weaker. Now get this, you can look this up. The definition of Ish-bosheth's name was shameful flesh. The kingdom of the son of David, Jesus, was growing stronger and stronger. And the kingdom of the shameful flesh was growing weaker and weaker. There was a war. And some of you know that war. The flesh fighting the spirit. The flesh fighting the spirit. But as you grow in the Lord, the kingdom of the flesh gets weaker and weaker, and the kingdom of God in us gets stronger and stronger. That's the way it's supposed to be. Some of you, I have an advantage over you. I'm older. I've been serving God 40-some years, and I want you to know that if you hang in there and faithful, the flesh will get weaker and weaker and weaker, and the spirit will get stronger. You have something to look forward to. Today, the stuff that bothered me 10 or 20 years ago doesn't bother me anymore. It's died out. My anger dissipates. My jealousy dissipates. Materialism doesn't mean what it did before. The opposite sex women, I used to tell you, you know, every time you see a pretty woman, if you take a second look, you sin. So take one long first look. And I used to joke about that. And my wife said, I better not ever hear that again. And she's in the Northwest right now. She's getting a film of the first service, so. But now, a gorgeous woman walks by, and I go, why even look the first time? You know, what's the use? We've grown. See, really, my only problem now is donuts. I got to crucify that one yet. No, Taco Bell, too. I fulfill that one once a week. I just go for it. But my wife got so mad at me today, but she's not here, and I'll tell it again. I love my grandkids, and our little granddaughter is gorgeous. She's not two yet. And so we get to babysit a lot. And now this little kid is being raised so healthy. I admire my daughter-in-law and my son. You know what she eats for snacks? Seaweed. I mean, she stuffs it down. The little kid hardly ever eats sugar or anything. I mean, she's just healthy, healthy, healthy. Well, we got a babysit the other night, and I had this crazy thought going there, and I stopped by Dunkin' Donuts. And got her one and got me just a whole, but I had several of them. And so I go over, and when I got there, I knew Debbie would be upset. She said, hi, Papa, Papa, Papa. And I say, look what Papa's got you. And Debbie said, what do you have? I said, donut. She said, Ron, she can't have that. I said, well, take it away from her. And that little baby grabbed that donut. And it was a big one. In 2 minutes, it was all gone. And she goes, Papa, donut, more donut? She knows the word. Because I told Debbie, who's she going to tell? She's almost two. She's going to tell anybody. Papa, donut, Papa, donut. Oh, no. They're going to never let me babysit again. So man, I got all the frosting off of her, and I stuck the bag in the trash without thinking. I got home late at night and thought, oh, no, that Dunkin' Donut bag's in their trash. I started thinking about how I could put a ski mask on and sneak in and get it out at night. But anyway, my wife, after the first service, she said, you didn't. If you get fired, it's one thing, but if I get fired, it's a big deal. So, whatever. What are they going to say? They need babysitters. I talk to these defeated Christians every week on social media. And some have been saved 5, 10, 20 years, and their life's a mess. Now, I'm not judging you. We've all been there. We've all been there. Wait till we start our new series next week. I'm normal. What about you? We're going to find out we're judging some of the wrong people because we're all flesh. I was that husband that wife wanted to die or get rid of. I was him. So we have great sympathy with you. Now, as you know, the devil has a plan right now to bring every one of you down. No exceptions. And he's trying to work that plan out in your life right now. See, you've heard me say it many times, but let me take you to another level here. We say that walking with God is like connecting the dots. Like when we're little, you know, you draw one dot and then two, three, and finally you have a picture of what you want to have. And we say that God works that way. He does. He brings you to dot one, doesn't tell you about dot two until you get to one. That's just usually the way he works. Doesn't show you the whole picture. But the devil works in the identical same way. Yes, he has one dot. And if he can get you there, and he'll do it subtly, and he'll do it, you know, really undercover. If he can get you there, then he'll show you the next dot. He's not stupid. He doesn't take you there all at once. And right now, if you're smart, you will know where that first dot is. You'll be able to identify that first dot right now. I know what the first dot is, and he's never going to get me because I'm not going there. Now, the people I talked about in the first of my study, and that could be extended to a whole bunch of different kind of situations, they're where they're at by a series and accumulation of bad decisions. Proverbs 1, 22, 23, we've read it before, but I'll do it again. Wisdom shouts in the street, she lifts her voice in the square. At the head of the noisy street, she cries out. At the entrance of the gates in the city, she utters her sayings. How long, O naive ones, will you love being simple-minded? Simple-minded. And scoffers delight themselves in scoffing, and fools hate knowledge. Look at the Hebrew for simple-minded. How long will you people love being foolish? How long will you love being deluded and being naive? Listen to me. What makes any of us think that if we live in the same way the world's living, that our life isn't going to turn out the exact same way their life turned out? Don't be naive. When God calls you as a Christian, he calls you to a different lifestyle to save you from yourself. And if you obey, you will not end up there. If you're doing the same things the world's doing, your life's going to end up the same as their life is. Don't be naive. Don't be deluded. It's going to happen. I'm going to say this with hesitancy because I don't want to hurt anybody who's had a loved one die of cancer or anything. Please, God, give them power to overlook that and see the illustration. But I can't help laughing at that old Saturday Night Live video. And for some of you, it's not a laughing matter, but get what you can out of it. But I played it years ago, and there's a guy in the hospital dying of cancer, lung cancer, whatever. And the Saturday Night Live lady comes in, and she goes, I'm so sorry. She says, let me ask you a question. Did he smoke? Well, yeah, he did smoke 10 cigarette packs a day. Really? Really? And are you surprised that he's here? Yes, we're very surprised. Really? Did you never read on that package? It says, if you smoke these things, you might get cancer. And she goes on and on. And without making too light of that, really? You're into pornography and now you've had an affair? Really? You really didn't expect that to happen? Now you're losing your family? Really? The devil's not too creative. Once you're saved, it's the same old plan. Get them out of fellowship. Get them out of devotions. Get them too busy to spend time with you, Lord. Get them too busy. It never changed. You know, pretty soon, a lot of you are going to be going out, soccer every Sunday, soccer, sports. Now we have football, baseball all year round, sports, and you never go to church. That's pretty dumb. You're elevating sports above Jesus. Now listen to me. I don't want to be legalistic at all. You can, if you're real disciplined, you can play the services when you get home. There's other ways you can do it. You still do both. I'm never going to be legalistic on you and make you feel bad, because sports are important, but they're not more important than God. And so I even thought about taking a box truck here and make a traveling church and take it out to soccer fields every Sunday, and the platform comes down, tune, and we cut hair, we have a generator, and we do all that, and we preach. Yeah. Is it okay for me to say that? Just I'm not telling you you can't do sports on Sunday. I'm saying if you do, sit down with the family at night and watch the program. There's things you can do in its place, okay? I never want to pull this legalism thing on you, okay? But just make sure you get fellowship. Come Sunday night, you know, Sunday night service. There's ways you can get around that. Now, it's connecting the dots. It's all part of the Satan's plan. See, some of you already connected the first dot or two, and you're starting to backslide. The devil's got you in his grips. And what I'm going to say to you, what do they say? The best offense, the good defense, or vice versa, you know. Some of you know you're kind of sliding back. And instead of just stopping the sliding back, how about start going forward? When I teach conferences anywhere, whether it be a men's conference, business conference, I always use that thing. Every business, every person's either on incline, or you're on recline, or you're on decline. And it's a known fact that if you're in recline, you'll only stay there so long before you'll automatically go into decline. And to stay on the incline, you've got to keep doing fresh new stuff, fresh new stuff, fresh new stuff. Now, some of you need to start serving. Can I get very pastoral with you right now? We can't go any further if you guys don't start volunteering. Can't. I'm trying to fulfill God's vision. We are. And we're planting churches all over, but you know what? 15 or 20 workers left here to go to the Northwest. And they're going to Tehachapi. I'm just going to tell you, I believe in you. You guys are so gifted. You're so beautiful. You're so wonderful. And the majority of you don't do a lot on Sunday afternoon. Why can't you give an hour and a half to God? Some of you could come over to the first service and second service, stay after and volunteer for children's ministry, volunteer for nurse. I'm going to tell you now, I'm not going to sweat it. We're going to start closing some programs if you don't volunteer. That's what we're going to do. Do you understand? Some of you have been saved for quite a while. Do you understand that these younger Christians have been saved a year or two? They need to have their kids out there so they can come in here and get fed. And we need to pull together. In fact, I hope you're hearing me back room. I need a sign-up sheet out there today in the foyer where some of you have signed up and say, you know what? I'm going to. In fact, let's pray this right here. Father God, right now, I need you to really touch about 30, 40 people and say you can come to the first service and then work the second, because the second's the big one, or the first one's big too, or vice versa. They can come a second, work the first. Right now, you speak to their hearts and say, this is for you. I believe you to do it. I give it to you. I planted the seed. I'm not even going to worry about it now. Amen. You can sign up on the way out. There'll be a sheet. Somebody will be manning it in the back. It's about walking in the Spirit. Again, Proverbs 3:6. I mean, my favorite verse, in all your ways acknowledge him and he'll make your path straight. Acknowledge right now that God has me here saying this. Da, da, da. And then Philippians 2:13, I don't know if I gave this to you or not. Forgive me if I'm redundant a little bit. I speak in a lot of different places and sometimes I forget. But this verse, I think we gave it. It's so important. For it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Look at the Greek phrase, to will. When you're walking with the Lord, it is God in you that's helping you make a determination. It's God in you who's making you want to choose something. It's God in you that's making you prefer something. It's God in you who's causing you to be inclined to do things. It's God in you. Don't deny that. Don't stuff that down. I got to get here a little earlier. Now, real quickly in closing, I'm going to go real rapid here. I want to give you three things that you need to be very cognizant of to keep you from getting in one of these traps that these people are in that are writing me every week. And then I'm going to give you two or three things that you can use to get out of the trap if you're in it. And so Benjamin Franklin said, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. You don't want to get in the trap. That's what you don't want to do. And while you're healthy, you better stay healthy. Now, let me take you back to a very familiar story in the Old Testament. Just going to spend 1 minute on it here. David, King David, sends his men off to war. And I think there's a lot of parts of this story that we don't see. I'm not so sure that he didn't even do this intentionally. He might already have been aware of Bathsheba. We think David was probably in his 50s right now, and Bathsheba might have been 18, 19, we don't know. And so David comes out on his deck, and because I know God, I think I can add a little bit. He walks out on the deck, and he's getting some sun rays, and he might have known. Do you believe that the devil knew that Bathsheba was bathing on the deck? Do you think he knew that? And you think God knew that? They both did. So I'm sure David walked out and goes, oh, mamma mia, and he went back, go back, no, don't look at this. He comes back out. You know the process. And finally, he gets the right angle, and you know what happens. He calls her up. They have an affair. She gets pregnant. All of a sudden, life is a mess. He ruins his relationships, first of all. Ahithophel was like his counselor, his good friend. Ahithophel was one of his buddies. I think Ahithophel is probably a few years older than David, I think. But Ahithophel was like his right-hand man. They had a good relationship. But Ahithophel was Bathsheba's grandfather. And remember when the kingdom split and Absalom, David's son, was warring against his dad, Ahithophel went with Absalom, David. He sided with him. He left David. He left him. And remember when there was an occasion that they were planning a surprise attack on David, Ahithophel begged Absalom, says, let me kill him myself. I don't want anybody else to do it. I want to kill him. He raped my granddaughter. I want to kill him. It was a horrible story. The wives, oh my goodness, his wives, he hurt his wives, the kids, he hurt. So many people were hurt. It's so easy to get bitter. Who am I talking to? You got to keep a bitter spirit out. I was laughing the other day. A bitter wife sent a message to her husband, says, sweetheart, he had been gone all day working. And she said, there was just a news flash on TV that said they found a hideous corpse. They found a hideous corpse with a hollow head. He had a cigar sticking out of his rotting teeth. And he had a liquor bottle in his hands. And they found him, and I just want to make sure you're okay. Can you call home when you get a chance? I'm worried about you. Bitterness. What's bad is the devil sucks you into this, and then he laughs. He laughs at you. You know, it's one thing to be defeated, but have someone laugh at you after they beat you up. Now, here are some of the things David did to mess himself up, and I got to be really quick. Number one is he had too much idle time on his hands. Idle time is the devil's. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. Are you abounding in the work of the Lord? You're supposed to be, every single person. 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whether then you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. All to the glory of God. Today you go to a restaurant, go, to the glory of God, to the glory of God. You go to Bible study tomorrow, to the glory of God, to the glory of God. That ought to be a say, to the glory of God. You go to read your Bible, to the glory of God. Fellowship at Starbucks, let's fellowship to the glory of God. You go to be intimate with your spouse, to the glory of God. Oh, you guys are serious too. Number two, he wasn't faithful to obey the already revealed truths in his life. Again, I know I mentioned this because I don't remember when I preached this, but again, I know it so many times, but I realized the frustration in the China study. I love that book. When they say, we think we know one of the main reasons cancer happens, We think we know the main reason. It's eating animal-based proteins. I've talked to you. They go, we know, and nobody's listening. And we're frustrated. We know, and nobody's listening. And they get so frustrated. And in the same way, as a pastor, I know what it takes to stay in the spiritual group. I know. I'll give you, and if you're in that Wednesday night, you get it. But here's the solution right here. DD plus MM plus 1MM plus 2 SIG CF equals HPL. So let's move on. It's simple. This works. Daily devotions plus minor ministry plus one major ministry plus two significant Christian friends equals a happy, prosperous life. It works. It works. What's minor ministry? Minor ministry is what I've taught you for years. You go out during the day and you text somebody a verse. You see somebody at Walmart, you say a quick prayer for them. You're driving your car and you say, that's minor ministry. You do that. And one major ministry, and if you're at home on the internet, you don't have to go to church. You can be prayer, it could be giving, it can be, you know, encouraging a pastor. I mean, it can be working Sunday school, major ministry. And then two significant Christian friends, I'm telling you, it'll work. And I get frustrated because people stop doing that, and it'll work. Now, number three, he compromised his values. Hopefully he had a value in place that says don't go around looking at naked women taking a shower. Pretty basic value, right? Now, I see so many Christians that neglect just elementary values. I was talking to somebody a while back, and they were dating someone, and I said, are they Christian? Well, when they started doing that, I knew. I heard them pray one time. Give me a break. The Bible says do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. You're about to ruin your whole life. The Bible's an ancient, anointed book of God. We've got to stay with that. I had a real mature Christian one day talk to me too about marriage. So I said, what don't you understand? I just talked to somebody today. Do you have a scriptural reason for divorce? You can't just get tired of your spouse and go move on to another one. I had someone a while back that kind of was doing that, and I go, what kind of message are you giving to all of our young people? I'm tired of that one. I'll move on to another one. We got to get back to the Word of God. 1 Corinthians 7 says if you got a hell-bent spouse and you don't like to live with them and you want to divorce him, that's fine, but stay unmarried or go back to your spouse. I'm going to hold up the Word of God. I'm going to the rest of my life. I'm going to hold it up. Send people back to the Word. Send them back to the Word. See, all these values are in place to keep us from being stung by sin. That's why they're there. How many of you know that you would have saved your life a whole lot of pain if you had obeyed these things from day one? Had your values in place. Now, if you're caught up in something, here's the way out. Number one, by keeping yourself in a healthy Bible-based church. So important where you attend church. So important. Know your pastor. If you have pastors and across America, oh gosh, we've had a lot of problems, but if your pastor's not walking with God close, you're not going to be getting the rhema as you're supposed to be getting. See, the Bible says that you grow by the washing of the water with the word, and that word is rhema. In other words, the way you grow spiritually is when rhemas are going forth. Rhemas, when you obey those, you start really growing and your life starts changing. Look at Psalms 119:9. How can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to your word. And that's kind of a Hebrew word equivalent to rhema. And you have to have someone who's given those rhemas. Look at Luke 11:28. But he said, on the contrary, blessed are those who hear the word of God and observe it. And you got to go to a church where you hear the word of God. James 1:25. But the one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in whatever he does. Whoa! Now, I don't want to ever preach legalism. It says if you abide in the law of liberty, there's a fine line between the call of holiness that I give all the time and legalism. There's a fine line. See, I was talking to somebody the other day, a Christian, we're talking about drinking. They said they drink. I said, that's fine, as long as you don't get drunk. I mean, you got scripture to back you. You're fine. I don't drink, period, but if you think that's okay, you have scripture to back you, but my friend, I'll always take you back scripture. Deuteronomy 5:33 says, you shall walk in the way which the Lord your God has commanded you, that you may live and it may be well with you, and that you may prolong your days in the land which you will possess. What does the word well mean in Greek? If you'll follow God, you'll be at ease. Anybody at ease here today? Whatever. By the way, I did take caffeine today, so we're I don't normally do. I didn't sleep last night. I took 200 milligrams of caffeine, so we should be out in the next hour. No, we'll be in 5 minutes max. Okay. They'll be at ease. They'll be glad. They'll even be beautiful. Fruitful value. Beautiful. Why is it that I can be somewhere? I told my wife the other day, see those people right there? They got a lot of money. She says, how? I said, look at their face. Why is that? You can tell a lot of stuff, maybe sexual gender, you can tell poverty, you can tell bitterness, you can tell lust, just by looking at people's face. That's isn't that crazy? Nuts. Well, sexual gender, obviously. There's something about a Christian that's beautiful. Number two, get spiritual counseling. If you're in a mess, don't, humble yourself, get counseling. I don't know about you, but have you ever been to a counseling session and someone says something, you go, oh my gosh, that puts a whole different light on it. These counseling people, usually if they're called from God, they know stuff that you don't know, and they know how to get you out of that mess. And thirdly, engage in spiritual warfare. It's a huge problem in the United States. People don't even think the devil exists. They don't even think demons exist. No churches teach it. Very few churches teach about demons. Demons are messing with your life, and they're responsible for a whole lot more than you think. A whole lot more. Paul tried to tell us, your battle's not against flesh and blood, man, it's against spirits. We don't get it. You start engaging in spiritual warfare, your life will turn like this. And the last one, if you're in a jam already, you're messed up, be willing to pay the price necessary to regain the peace in your life. A lot of people play, but then they don't want to pay. It is what it is. If I was in a situation, a bad situation, I'd probably go to my wife and do something like this. I'd go, you know what, babe, I'm messing up big time. And I can't keep it quiet anymore. Here's what I'm doing. I'm so sorry. And if you want to leave me, I totally understand. I did that one time when I was very young in the 20s. I said, if you want to leave me, I totally understand. But I'm going to get my life together. Tell your kids, it is what it is. Here's where dad's at. Here's where mom's at. Something about getting this honesty, this confession out, and just saying, now God be God. And if I lose my marriage, you know what? There's life after that. It'll kill me, but it's life after that. You have to somehow own up to it and say it is what it is. And now I'm going to take counsel. I'm going to do right. I told this story some time ago, but I'll end with it again because it's some stories I just like to hear over and over again. But a guy standing in the airport, and a bystander's watching him, and he has a grown daughter, and they're hugging each other with a real long embrace. And they look at each other, and he says, sweetheart, I wish you enough. He says, daddy, I wish you enough. And they start walking away. The dad's crying. The daughter's crying. She says, I wish you enough, daddy. She said, I wish you enough, sweetheart. And she walks away. So the bystander comes over and says, well, what's that wish you enough? He said, we started doing that since she was little. And what we're saying is in a prayer sense, I wish you enough of whatever you need to get through whatever you're going through. I wish you enough. And he says, I'm dying of cancer, and it's probably the last time I'll see her. I wish you enough. I want you to know, last thing I'm going to say, no matter where you're at or what's happened, God is on your side. And that's huge. That's huge. And he's waiting for you to humbly come to him. Trust him. You know, someday I'm going to walk out and I'm going to have a sermon. I'll say, are you ready for the sermon this morning? I'm going to go, have faith in God. I'm going to walk off. That's going to happen someday, I think. But it won't happen when I'm on caffeine. Let's pray. Father God, Lord, thank you so much for the message. Lord, I don't like to be redundant. In fact, as I get older, one of the things I hate is redundancy. But I felt you told me to go back to that sermon, and I did. It must be for a lot of people here, people on the internet, that sermon's for a reason. And so right now, Lord God, I ask you to confirm in every single person's heart as to why they were here today. Let them get that one little tidbit that was said and say, that's the reason that I was here. That's what God showed up to say to me today. If you want to give your life to God and you've never done that on the internet or here, all you have to do is, if you want to get somebody to pray with you, if you're here, you can come up. Pastor Tom and Pastor Darren, you can have the other campuses here. But if you want to give your life to God, all you have to do is say, Heavenly Father, send the Holy Spirit and come and live in my body to give me the power to start following Jesus. You can't follow the Lord without the Holy Spirit. You have to ask for him, receive him by faith, and then start following Jesus, okay? God bless you, love you, see you here, there, in the air.
Thank you for listening. We pray that this message has ministered to your heart. If you don't already have a church you call home, we invite you to join us at Valley Bible Fellowship for worship, Bible study, fellowship, and more. We're at 2300 East Brundage Lane in Bakersfield, California, near Mount Vernon and Freeway 58. Reach us by phone at 661-325-2251 or visit our website at vbf.org. Here is our King, here is our love.